Let us pray. God, we know that you have some things to say to us today, and we're here to listen. Should we grow weary? Should we wonder what this means for us? Tell us. Make us aware of your presence. Fill us with your Spirit so we receive what we need to hear. And I ask, Lord, that as I share the message this morning, that your Spirit will move through me. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a side note, you know, the groundhog said, spring's coming. That's great news. I wasn't the groundhog. But I do want spring to come. Don and I have two sons, Nicholas and Zachary. When Nicholas was born on Don's birthday, he weighed in under 8 pounds. Zachary arrived 20 months later, and he weighed almost 9 pounds. The same doctor delivered both of them. But after Zachary was born, the doctor told us that now we have our intellectual child, our lawyer, meaning Nicholas. And I guess because Zachary was heavier, the doctor told us we have our football player. And they were going to take care of us. That's not happened yet. Was the doctor correct? Well, Nicholas went on to become a music therapist. And he continued for his master's degree in marriage and family counseling. Not quite a lawyer, but you know. Zachary did play football from the time he was 8 years old until he graduated from high school. But when he went to college, he said he didn't want to play football anymore. So our doctor's predictions about our son's futures were partially correct. But in the end, the boys made their own choices, determining the direction they wanted their lives to go. We all have choices to make that determine the outcome in our life's journey. God has a plan for us, and he had that even before we were conceived. You know that beautiful scripture that we find in Psalm 139, verses 13 through 16, where it says, "For it was you, God, who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes beheld my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were formed for me, when none of them as yet existed." I think that's beautiful. God created not only our physical being, but he also gifted us with talents we need to fulfill his plan for us. It's our job to nurture and develop our God-given talents and to seek out the ways in which God would have us use them. We make choices every single day of our lives that shape who we are on that particular day. And the choices we make shape the outcome of our day, as well as influencing the people around us throughout the day. At the end of the day, when you look back over the events that transpired and the things that were said, do you feel satisfied that your choices reflect the outcome God intended for the use of your gifts to fulfill the plan he has for you? God had a plan for Jesus when he sent Jesus into the world. And while Jesus was fully divine, he was also fully human. So his life began just like every other Jewish child. He came as a baby. Rituals and Jewish laws were very important after a baby's birth, and so we heard read to us this morning that Mary and Joseph fulfilled the requirements expected of them after Jesus was born. Jewish families went through several ceremonies soon after a baby's birth. There was circumcision. Every boy was circumcised and named on the eighth day after birth. Verse 21 tells us that Mary and Joseph had this done. Did you know that circumcision symbolized for the Jews the separation from the Gentiles and their unique relationship with God? There's also the service for redemption of the firstborn. A firstborn son was presented to God 1 month after birth. The ceremony included buying back, redeeming the child from God through an offering. This way, the parents acknowledge that the child belonged to God, who alone has the power to give life. And then finally, there was the purification of the mother. For 40 days after the birth of a son, I don't know why, but 80 days after the birth of a daughter, the mother was ceremonially unclean and could not enter the temple. At the end of her time of separation, the parents were to bring a lamb for a burnt offering and a dove or a pigeon for a sin offering. The priest would sacrifice these animals and declare her clean. And the page rolled. There we go. So Mary and Joseph had used the offering of a burnt offering with a dove and a pigeon for their sin offering. The priest would sacrifice these animals and declare her clean. If a lamb was too expensive, the parents would bring a second dove or pigeon instead. And as I said, this is what Mary and Joseph did. So we find Mary and Joseph at the temple doing their duty as all good Jewish parents did. And here comes this man named Simeon. Simeon was a member of a small group of Jews known as the quiet in the land. And unlike most Jews who were waiting for a mighty warrior to come and to conquer those who oppressed them, this quiet group was looking for no dreams of violence or power of an army. They believed in a life of constant prayer and quiet watchfulness until God should come. All their lives, they waited patiently and quietly upon God. Simeon, with humble and faithful expectation, was waiting for the day when God would comfort his people. And God promised Simeon through the Holy Spirit that he would live until he would see God's anointed king. And that day, he saw him in the baby Jesus. Upon recognizing him as the promised one, Simeon made these claims about Jesus' future. Think about how you would feel as a parent hearing these things about your child. He said, this child is destined for the falling and the rise of many in Israel, meaning he is like the line in the sand, and some will choose to follow him and accept him, and others will reject him and be forever lost. Simeon said Jesus would be a figure misunderstood and contradicted. I don't think I need to explain that one. And finally, he said the way people would react to Jesus or avoid him would reveal the inner thoughts of many, meaning there's no way anyone would be able to sit on the fence about accepting Jesus. You're either with him or you're not. Mary and Joseph also met a woman named Anna, who was also a member of the quiet in the land. And like Simeon, Anna saw Jesus for what he would become. They saw God in him. Simeon and Anna saw the good he would bring about for all people. Now, when children are little, we almost all think our children are special. We brag about their accomplishments. We celebrate their victories and reward them for every success in order to boost their self-confidence. And we talk to them lovingly about the things that make them special. But sometimes, if we were really to see into their future, we might change how we raise them. So perhaps it's best to let them grow as they are intended, but it's also best to look beyond the surface and see the good that they can do. And in this text, we see parents, Mary and Joseph, amazed and possibly struggling with what has been told to them about their child. God, our heavenly parent, considers each of us special too. As I mentioned earlier, God has a plan for each and every one of us, just as he did for Jesus. And as I said, God equipped us with talents to live up to our potential and to fulfill that plan he has for us. God encourages us, opens doors for us to fulfill that potential for doing good, not only for ourselves, but also for building God's kingdom. And if God wanted, he could direct our way so that we would never miss a step in achieving those goals set before us. But God doesn't work that way, does he? We're not God's puppets. The reality is that everyone must eventually determine his or her own path. And if we're honest with ourselves, we all know that we do not always make the wisest decisions, and we fall flat on our faces. We may feel the pain of knowing we disappointed God, that we failed to do our best for God. We may have even caused others to stumble with us. What do we do then? Well, we can either listen to those voices, those negative voices in our heads, or the voices of those judging us, telling us we're good for nothings, or we can listen to the voice of God, telling us we are special, even though we fell down flat on our face. We are special. God, with his loving grace, picks us up like a loving parent picks up a child, brushes us off, and sends us on our way. And because of God's grace, we learn from our failures, and we get another chance. We get another chance to live up to the potential that God gave us. God has a lot invested in us. And it's our job to live up to that potential. This is not only true for us as individuals, but I'm going to go back to something I said in the beginning of my time serving here, and it seems very appropriate. It's also true for us as a congregation. So many good things have happened through the work of this congregation. You've used the gifts of the members of the congregation, fulfilled your potential many times over. But listen to this story written by Christian author Craig Brian Larson. He shares this illustration as an illustration for potential. He writes, "On my desk, I like to display on a book stand the kind of gift book that people put on their coffee table. You know, those filled with professional photos of nature or tourist destinations. My current book is America's Spectacular National Parks by Michael Dukeman. For several days, I've had that book open to a photo of the Grand Tetons. It's an extra wide photo that fills the page from the left page and crosses over to the fold to the right page. It's a majestic display of deep blue sky, rugged gray snow-capped mountains, and a calm lake in the foreground. Some of you have seen them, haven't you? I see you shaking your heads. This morning, I decided to turn the page to the next photo, he says, and as I did, I discovered that I missed something very important. The right page of the Grand Tetons photo was an extra long page that folded over, covering part of the Grand Tetons. So when I opened up that page, it added some 16 inches to the width of the photo. And wow, the Grand Tetons became even grander. The Christian life has unfolding moments like that, when we discover there is much more to God and his kingdom than we ever knew, much more to his purpose for us than we ever imagined. Abraham experienced that at age 75, Moses at age 80, the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, again and again and again in the Bible. When God met people, he opened a glorious page for them that had previously been folded. Brothers and sisters, God's unfolding a page for us at HCOB. And as we follow the path ahead of us, we will need to take into consideration that changes have occurred. Some people are no longer with us, and others have joined us. There are different talents waiting to be discovered and used. There are spirit-inspired ideas ready to be revealed and given life. But for them to come to life, we all need to live up to our potential, using our God-given gifts, just as God planned for each and every one of us to do until that day when we join him in paradise for eternity. It's not going to happen overnight. God has a plan, and we have potential. I'm excited to begin. Are you? Amen.